What we're going to talk about this morning is the great I am. Lord, I prayed so much this morning. I don't even know how to pray again. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. So I've watched a lot of Easter plays in my past, and I watched a few of them online this year. I saw different aspects that people all want to talk about, but mainly we focus on the fact that he resurrected. This is resurrection morning, and we focus a lot on the death. We focus on the words that he spoke to Pilate and to different people, and we focus on what he went through for us, and then we focus on how he came alive again. But as I went to the scripture to start reading this year, something happened, and I was captured at the point of his arrest. And in some things that happened in that garden, you know, Peter got excited and cut one of the guard's ears off. And Jesus said, no, no, Peter. And he put the ear back on and he healed it.
Right
then and there, you'd think those guards would have said, I'm not arresting God. Who else can put an ear back on? But you know what? In the face of miracles, people still don't see Jesus.
Right.
They still might miss that he's God.
Exactly.
They make excuses. They're blind and deaf in the spirit.
Right.
Well, I've read the story of his arrest many, many years. But this year, it was different. This year, we saw that the soldiers came seeking Jesus, but they didn't come seeking him as their Savior. They didn't come looking for God. They came looking for a man to arrest, supposedly a criminal. And their first question they asked Jesus, they said, are you Jesus from Nazareth? Well, the priest had asked Jesus, are you Jesus from Bethlehem? I mean, because the scriptures all told us that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem, and you come from Nazareth, so you can't be Christ. They didn't bother to find out he was born in Bethlehem. But the guards came looking for Jesus from Nazareth. They were just looking for a man. They weren't seeking the Christ. So when Jesus spoke and answered them, they missed it. And this is where, this year, I got something new. His answer to them, which DBJ is going to read that in a minute for us, his answer was, I am. Two words, I am. And this year when I was reading it, and I read that Jesus said, I am, I got so shaken. I mean, I was just powerfully shaken because I heard those words. I didn't hear them, but I read them. But it was like Jesus spoke those words with the full impact of what he was saying. He wasn't just saying, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm who you're looking for. He said, I am. God said that three times in three time periods, and this is what we're going to look at. But when he said it to me, and I was so shaken with the power of all that he is. And I said, would you say that again? And I read it again. And when I got to I am, I was like melted, just melted in peace. I said, would you say that again? And I went for a third time and I read it again. And when he said, I am, suddenly I was hit with a revelation of why it hit me three different ways and why he had spoken those words three different times in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in the book of Revelation. And I began getting the revelation of this message of the great I am and why he simply said I am and didn't describe more. And not, I am your Savior. I am God. I am. But I am included the power, the inclusion of all that he is. All of it. So we're going to go to that arrest and read that. And I want to tell you in advance before we start studying this. As DBJ reads it for us, don't be disappointed if you're not hitting the spirit like that, okay? Because if God wiped you all out the first time you said, I am, we wouldn't be able to bring the message. If y'all fell down on the floor, went off in God's presence, you wouldn't hear another word I said. So I want to comfort you that don't expect to be so powerfully hit every time you hear those words. But I have prayed and prayed and prayed that when the message is done and we invite God to breathe life into those words, that's when we're going to experience the presence of God this morning powerfully. You might experience him up to then, but hopefully with still the ability to hear. Now, if not, you know, this room's kind of hard. If you may need to crawl in there and lay on a rug, but don't expect to be impacted that way until we actually hear what he has to say first. So John 18, if you go to John 18, starting in verse 1, and DVJ is going to read it. I can come to you. You're going to come to me? Okay.
Would you mind if I look to, because he says again.
Yes.
I won't click the last part. John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am.
Notice he said it three times to them. Three times he said, I am. And you know what? The same words, I am, that shook me and melted me and brought revelation and life to me, did nothing for them. They fell to the ground like dead men at his feet. And it still did nothing for them. They just got up and arrested him. You know what? And when we come to church, like Janiah was saying, when we become dead to the Word of God, indifferent and cold to the Word of God, and we don't come seeking an encounter with God, he can speak the words, but we can just be dead. But if we come seeking because we want him and we're hungry for him and we need him and we want to meet with Jesus, then his words will come alive.
Right.
He will come alive to us. I want it to be a Resurrection Sunday this year where we come alive again.
Amen.
Come alive again. Get just woke up in our spirit to a resurrected new life. In the definition of the word, because I thought, wow, have I missed it? I'm a word studier. I always go after the Greek and the Hebrew, and I'm taking those words, I am, and I'm going to look up the number in Greek, and I'm going to find out what they mean. And it meant, I'm present. I'm here. I'm right here with you. And thought, that's kind of odd, you know, because let me see where Jesus said, I'm just here. He spoke those same words other times without breathing the same life in them. And you can go find where Jesus might have said, yes, I am going to do that. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I am. And it was the same definition, but without the impact of life. It's not the words. It's who's speaking them and how much revelation he decides to release when he speaks those words to you. It's the same thing when we preach, when we talk, when we witness. We can say all the right words and it can be dead to people. It can be dead because we speak it in death.
Right.
God's not moving. It can be dead because they hear it with dead ears. And there's no life in it. But these three times where actually God had them capitalize the letters, it was because somehow in the translators realized there was something different. There was something different. So it does include, when he speaks, it includes everything that God is. Now, if he spoke it with the full empowerment of every manifestation of who he is, we'd just be dead. But he speaks it with a revelation of who he is at this point in your life, at this point in history, because there's a revelation of God that's ready to come forth at that time. So let's go to the Old Testament in Exodus 3:14 when he spoke it to Moses. Now here's Moses, who had been 40 years in Egypt and in pride. By the way, let's just take a minute and deal with pride right now. Because pride blocks us from God. And pride has like many manifestations, but I'm going to give you four. Pride is either boasting about self, wanting to exalt self, or pride is hiding about self. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be noticed. I'm protecting me. This is my protection. Still pride, it's about self. Number three, self-pleasure. Well, what do I get to do? I want to do that. That's fun. This isn't fun. All about pleasing self. And four, pride is also in self-degradation. I hate myself. I deserve nothing. It's still about self. You get the point? Pride is self. Pride is completely about self. And as long as we are about ourself in any one of those manifestations, we have trouble seeing God or hearing God. Now, we have talked and talked about coming to a place where we want to release the fullness of God, and yet we still have some kind of pride that we hold on to as our protection, as our security blanket, as our desire for us, what we want to look like, what we don't want to look like, or even hating ourselves. God can't be seen through that. So let's just deal with it. You are not proud. And we had flashlight meetings for months going over this, and I'm capsulizing it quick. You are not proud, and I can prove it. Not proud. And you were created in his image.
Right.
And that isn't pride. The devil's personality is 100% pride.
Right.
And you weren't created in his image.
Right.
That belongs to him.
Right.
Now, he infiltrated us, and he lived through us the moment we were born in sin. We need us. It's time to kick the devil off the throne of our life and stop letting him live.
Amen.
Now, that's scary to come out of pride, because we've trusted in pride our whole life. And now we're trusting in God, who is humble and open and real, unafraid to be different.
Right.
But we have to kick pride out if we want to see Jesus. So I'm going to ask you all to bow your head. And I want you, if you really want to experience Christ this morning, I want you to pray this with me. God, I do not want pride living in me.
I don't care to look good.
And I don't want to hide.
I don't want my life to be about
self-pleasure. Nor hating myself. That's not humility. Humility is just looking at how great you are. So I break agreement with pride right now. I want nothing to do with it. And I will resist his suggestions to me this morning. And I will be wide open to you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, with pride out of the way, we're going to be able to see Jesus today. So don't be afraid. When the Spirit of God wants you to say something, do something, whatever he's moving on you, don't let pride steal it. Don't
right.
let pride steal a moment of God out of your life.
Right.
Okay, so now Moses, he grew up in Egypt, full of glorious pride, raised by the royalty, given position, and he knew the call in his life, that he was going to be deliverer of the Jews. And he was real proud of that. So he went out and tried to do it in the flesh and failed.
Right.
Now he gets ran out of Egypt. There's 40 years of life. He goes out into the desert and he spends 40 years out there as a poor old shepherd. He gets married, has some kids, a son, a couple. I don't know how many kids did Moses have. A couple. But he's dissatisfied. Now he's living in hiding pride. I don't even want to be seen. I just give up. I'll just live as a shepherd. I'm not a deliverer. But his heart wanted God. He sought God. And when he saw that fire, and others said, don't go up, we'll kill you. I don't care. I don't care if it kills me. You tell me that is my God, I am going to find God. That represents the first step of salvation. Repentance toward God.
Right.
The scripture says salvation is repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, when God said, I am, he's declaring, I'm the creator. I am the one who made you. I made everything. I am the one who gives you the laws of how to live. I am the judge if you don't live them. But I also love you.
Amen.
Moses turned aside from everything in this world and he went after God.
Right.
That is repentance toward God.
Right.
And he caused, I want this God. And he went up that mountain. And God, 3:14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you, sent me unto you. The Lord revealed himself to somebody who was sincerely seeking him as God, the God of everything. And this was how everything that God is was in those words when he spoke them that day. It was all there. Now Moses was on holy ground. God said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. I like to be barefoot. I always like to be barefoot. But we were in a move of God where God said, if you would take off your shoes and socks and set your feet free, then your spirit might follow. So right in that big Baptist church with hundreds of people, I took off my shoes and socks, and I went up and took a microphone. Now, I didn't have a lot of healing yet, and I was still really shy. And I took the microphone and gave them God's word. You'll take off your shoes. You let your feet get free. Maybe your spirit will follow. So many of them took off their shoes and socks, and God showed up. And I've loved to be barefoot ever since. And I know when I come in and I'm seeking God's presence, I want to be as free as I can be. So I like to be barefoot. I want to get on holy ground. And when I'm praying and talking to him and not having to read, I take off my glasses because I don't need them in the spirit realm. I like to just get wide open to everything of God. This is the first step. Turn away. Turn away from the things of this life and want God. And when Moses did, God revealed himself. To those who seek him, you will find him because he wants to be found.
Right.
He wants to be found. He wants to declare who he is to you. He wants to do that. He's Abba Father.
Amen.
He's the Lord of hosts, Almighty God. Adonai Elohim.
Yes.
Meaning, I am the God of hosts or Lord God Almighty. I am a consuming fire. I am your creator. I'm your shepherd, your healer, your comforter. There's hundreds of names for God. You can go through the list. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. You can go through all these descriptions of God. But when he said, I am, all of those descriptions were released in the revelation of God to Moses that day. When you go seeking God, he will reveal himself to you. The Old Testament represents a release of revelation of who God is. From Genesis right to the very last chapter, we're learning who God is so that we will turn away from this world and choose his kingdom. The first time that the Lord spoke, I am to me, the other day, that's why it shook me. It was the power of an authority and the whole power of who God is shook me. Now go back to that garden in John chapter 18. So go back to that garden when he spoke to the soldiers. Who was he speaking to in that garden? He was speaking directly to sinners who were rejecting him, who didn't believe in him, who were getting ready to crucify him. And he said, I am. They fell to the ground like dead men. Before we even repent, we are the ones who crucified Christ. And he announced himself as Savior, Lamb of God, Son of God, the Christ who came to rescue you, save you, die for you. He announced who he was in the fullness of Christ our Savior when he said, I am. Some heard him and some didn't. I don't even think the disciples got the full impact of what he said that day, because they were all about to run. They had not spent the night the right way. They were sleeping. Now talk about being indifferent to the voice of God. They know they're with the Christ. They know they're with the Messiah. They know who Jesus is. They've seen the miracles, heard the teaching, and Jesus is saying, I am about to be crucified. I'm about to die. He said it a few times. And they said, hey, we got a question. Which one of us will be greatest when we get to heaven? Pride was blocking their hearing. And then Jesus gets into the garden. God himself, if God himself came to you and said, watch with me, would you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too tired? But God is saying, watch with us. He is saying, watch with me. He, you know, Moses waited 80 years before he got this meeting with God. But every single experience of his life was preparation for that moment. He was a prepared man and he didn't even know it. He had to lose his pride, all forms of it, and he had to go after God and say, this is it, live or die, God's my choice. And then he encountered him. 80 years. How old are you? I'm almost the oldest in the room. He's got me by a few months. 2 months, right? 2 months. I'm 69. We are called. We are called to a move of God. Those dreams that he spoke, those promises he gave you, those words you've heard about what's coming is true. But the longer we wait and wait and wait, the more complacent we can become and say, yeah, someday, yeah, someday, yeah, someday. Well, get ready, because someday's going to get here one day.
Yeah.
But who's going to be ready? Who's going to still be hungry? Who's going to still be holding their promises and saying, that's my call. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be ready. Your entire life, even before you met him, everything in your life has been your preparation. You're not wasting time. You're being prepared. Those things that happened to you when I was raped as a teenager, God just flipped it over and taught me how to help women who have either by their own choice or by abuse, have lost their purity, to let them know it didn't touch your spirit. Who you really are is untouched. You are the same as the day he created you, clean and beautiful. And we need to know that to overcome the abuses of this life. Those abuses don't touch who we really are. Don't give away your call. Don't give away who God said you were created to be. Because everything that's happened doesn't matter, except for how you flip it to his glory. How he flips it over for his glory. I don't have my needs met. Learn to live without them met. What's your greatest need is his presence. He didn't have a house. He didn't have money. When they told him to pay his taxes, he had to go fishing and pull a coin out of the mouth of a fish. You think that's a miracle? It's because he knew which fish to catch that swallowed a coin. He didn't create a coin in the fish's mouth. He knew which fish had swallowed a coin, and he caught that fish and paid his tax. He didn't worry. God makes all provision for us.
Amen.
What we don't have, we don't need this moment in time. God has taken care of us. And what we do have that's too much better be freely in our hands, ready to give as he leads, because it says to the rich, be ready to distribute. Don't hold on to anything but Jesus. And believe in who he said you are. Believe in the things that are coming. There is a move of God coming in this world as never seen before. He said, because I'm going to heaven, and then my spirit's going to come and live in you, and you, church, are my body, you will do greater works than I did, because now I live in a million people instead of one body. I live in a million bodies. So I do many more works than I did.
Amen.
Greater works of Christ than he did? No. What have we ever seen happen yet that's greater than what we saw him do? Anybody can name one thing, miracle, greater than the miracle he did. He raised the dead a few times. He had the cripple walk. He healed the blind eyes. We don't even see that on a regular basis. And he spoke that casually. Now, okay, now you're saved. Go out and get people saved. And those that get saved, they're going to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out the devils. And he said it like this is just a normal life for a Christian. We haven't even seen that as a normal life. But there is a move of God coming. I think the greatest move we've ever seen. And there's a reason. There's a reason. Before he ends this world, he wants to bring every person to Amen. Salvation that will come. And that is why he said, I am now on earth as the Savior. I'm the Savior who takes all your sin, who paid the price to redeem you so that now you can live in oneness with me. Living in oneness with him doesn't mean you get to look proud and respectful to other people. Doesn't mean everybody will like you. He said, they persecuted me. They hated me. They're going to persecute you if you let me show in your life. You're going to do some embarrassing things because he wants us to lay our life down. Your whole life has been preparation for the day that move begins and your call is broken wide open. You begin to walk in what he put you here to do. Oneness with him, releasing Christ. When he spoke in the garden, he was saying, before Abraham, and that's in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. God never said, I was, and he never says, I will. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of an eternal circle that never, I always am. I am. I am the Son of God. I am a perfect manifestation of Father God. I am the bread of life. I can nourish you, feed you. I am the door into the presence of God, into the kingdom. I am the resurrection. You know, the day that he raised Lazarus, he said, I am already the resurrection. I am the resurrection. If you believe this, though you were dead, you'll live again. And if you're alive, you don't even have to die. So why do we die? Sin. Because we don't forgive on this level. We keep getting sicker and dying. He said, I am the light. I am the word of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Lamb. And when he said, I am, it included every manifestation of God as Christ, the Savior, on earth. It was awesome and it was powerful. This was the second part of salvation, faith in who he is. Seeking who he is, the I am in Old Testament. Faith in who he is, I am the Savior. Coming to him and trusting in him for your salvation. That's step two of our salvation. Now, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, just calling on Jesus and saying a prayer, you got to know who you're calling on. You're right. Calling on I am and everything that's involved in that statement, that declaration of who he is. And you don't know that until somebody preaches to you.
Right.
Preachers need to be filled with I am.
Amen.
Because people need to come into the presence of the great I am.
Right.
And if we don't release that presence, how are they going to come to him?
Right.
And we're going to get really excited because we're going to go to the book of Revelation. The book, see, we've got Old Testament, New Testament, and the book of Revelation is a whole separate thing. It's the future. It's the past. And at Jesus' time, the present, your life, the present, your salvation. But then it is the future. And this is where it gets really excited. I get excited because of this time. First he spoke to a seeker who wanted God. Then he spoke to the lost sinners. And now, in the book of Revelation, he speaks to his faithful servant. He speaks to those who walk with him. He speaks to those who have chosen him as their life and they walk and live in oneness with Christ. That's why he came in the book of Revelation. Everybody won't get to hear those words spoken. I am. When he comes as the fullness of the resurrected, glorified Christ, and with the revelation of the end of the entire work of God on earth. We were born to that time. That's the I am we need to hear next. We need this revelation. And we need to hold on to that last futuristic thing that God came to do through us. So here's John, Apostle John, who had given himself completely and he had followed Christ. And for that, they arrest him and they put him on the Isle of Patmos where he's supposed to be miserably alone. And instead of miserably alone, he gets the greatest revelation of Christ that anyone ever had. Do we want to change? As we behold him, we're changed. John was beholding Jesus. That's what we need. He got to see heavenly visions way beyond anyone else. First of all, he got to encounter the risen Christ. This was the greatest revelation, the one that's masked to the average people in this world. In verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave this revelation unto Christ. Watch the next. To show unto his servants. This is who he will show these things to. We went through the whole book of Revelation here studying it from a perspective of the revelation of Christ. But some people didn't get it, and some did. Because he shows it to his servants. These things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I know that when he said, John, in verse 17, 18, John says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Three I ams in that statement. Now, they didn't necessarily capitalize them. But I know it had the full power because John fell at his feet like a dead man. Here's a man who walked with God, knew God, had given his whole life to live in oneness and serve him. And when Jesus said, I am, first and last, I am he that lives. I am alive forever. John fell as a dead man because those words were empowered with everything that he is as the risen Christ. The Christ we're going to know in heaven in the full revelation of who he is, not trapped in a fleshly body, but as God in his glory. I want to hear those words.
Amen.
I want to see Christ that way and walk with him that way.
Amen.
You know, the more powerfully God reveals himself to someone, the deeper the humility it causes in us. It doesn't cause us like, oh, wow, God showed himself to me. I must be somebody. The more holy you see him to be, the more you fall down realizing how nothing you are, how weak you are. And when God spoke to me these three times and it was so empowered, I began to study and put this together and I got so excited and so, it was also alive to me and I was so, God, this has to come to your church. Your people need to hear you say who you are. They need to see who you are. Can I give the study to somebody else because I'm not even worthy to bring it? What if it's dead? What if it doesn't come alive because I block it? And he said, okay, who's worthy? No one? No one? He said, well, then it may as well be you because no one's worthy. It's all what he chooses to do. But I was still afraid. I'm afraid of my flesh. I am really afraid of me. I am so carnal. I mean, I can be in God's presence 1 minute, 5 minutes later, be the biggest brat you ever met. I'm really, seriously, I can. I can go into depression. I can go into anger. I can go into rebellion. I can go into, I just don't care. Turn the TV on. Let's watch a comedy because I don't feel like caring. I go into that so quick. And it scares me when I need to bring a word that I know is so wonderful And I'm so afraid my flesh will block it. So I prayed, and in carnality, and then I prayed. And then went carnality, and I prayed. And then went flesh, pray, fresh, pray. And I asked him to pray, and asked him to pray. And then I get up this morning, and I'm going, oh, man, I'm going to preach this morning. You know, I don't think so. Where's my coffee? You know, somebody else better get ready, because it's not going to be me. And I say, God, I have prayed myself silly over this. And here I am, just sitting here in my flesh, not in your presence, and all on you. I'm just going to lay on my bed. I'm not even going to try to pray again. I'm just going to lay on my bed, say, here I am. If you want to do it, come do it, because I can't even think of another word to speak. The Spirit rose up in tongues and prayed a little bit through me, and a little bit. And I thought, okay, that's it. And I look at the clock, and it had been 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, you know. So I get back up. But a peace came over me, and I went, okay, it's all God. You know, I've confessed everything I can and given it all to God, and that's it. So Harvey and I sit down, and we start talking about God. I was afraid to speak about anything else. So we're just talking about God. And at one point he said, I'm telling on him because it's okay, right? At one point he said, just stop talking, just listen. I went, okay, I'll just listen. And I'm looking at the clock. I hate to go to church in pajamas with my hair like this, you know, but I really need to get ready. But I want to be kind to him and let him talk himself out. And then I want to say this, you know, and then I need to get ready. So he talks himself out, and then he says, I'm done. I need to go get ready. So I'm done. We're done. And I go, wow, okay, we're done. If I go in the bathroom, okay, I'm liking him right now, God. See, there you go. Not spiritual, back in the flesh. I'm not liking him right now, and there goes my day, you know. I am messed up. And I go, but I choose to forgive him, and I am not going to let that steal your presence from me. I'm just not. You know, and I'm starting to feel hurt instead of angry. That's what, you know, I don't like crying. I've never been a crier. But when I give up the anger, then I start feeling hurt. So tears are starting to come, and I'm starting to feel hurt, and I'm going, okay, God, I choose to forgive him, and I don't want to lose your presence, so I'm just leaving this in your hands. And then I hear this little knock on the bathroom door, and Harvey saying, are you okay? Because I shouldn't have said I'm done without asking you if you had something to say. I go, thank you for saying that. Jesus, you love me so much that you just did that in him so that I wouldn't be hurt. Man, then the tears were coming even more so at the love of Jesus, you know. So I guess you just need to learn to like crying, because it's going to happen. But I'm telling you, we're talking to normal people. We're talking to normal people. We're not talking that Wigglesworth is some special man who's more special than you. The fact that you're so drawn to him is because he speaks into what you're created for, and it thrills your soul. But it's you that's created for that in these end times. Wigglesworth was an example, but you know what? He did the same thing we do. Flesh, spirit, carnality, spiritual. He did. He didn't write about it, but he did it. I don't know. Did he write about it? No? Okay, see, if I only wrote my good days, you'd think I was an angel. We need to be a little more open today with that. He's a human, and he's no different than you. It's your call. It's why you're attracted. If you're in love with him, if you came after God, that's the kingdom I choose. And you came after Christ, that's my Savior I trust in. Guess what? You are ready for the book of Revelation when he says, I am. Right at the moment when he's getting ready to give you your Pentecostal morning moment and release the full power of the Spirit. Yes, Wigglesworth healed a lot of people. He even raised some dead, because that's what God was doing in that move. We saw a lot of people healed 25 years ago, move of God too, that we can't, we're not seeing it now because he's not doing it. Even Jesus said, I can only do what I see my Father do. Jesus didn't heal anybody before he was 30, because there was a timing. There was something God was getting ready to do, and it started when he was 30, but even then it was a one-on-one, and he said, don't go tell anybody about it yet. He knew when the word got out, they were going to kill him. There's a move coming of God. Everybody won't see it. Everybody won't. Even all Christians aren't going to see it. God's already told me he's starting some Christians out who aren't going to believe him, who aren't going to be ready for what's coming. So he's so kindly taking them to heaven because they're not ready for what's coming. We're either going to be releasing Christ or we're going to need to be protected in some way. This third time that Jesus spoke to me, what happened was I broke out in revelation. I broke out in prophecy. I broke out with just seeing what he's coming to do. It all came alive in me again. I got so excited that there are people that are being called into the separation of following Christ at any cost, at the separation from having to be accepted by everybody else or care what they think about how you look or if you have money or any of that. Those who are following Christ are going to hear him say, I am the risen Christ. That's what we want to hear today. Amen. We want to hear that today. We're going to have an altar call today. Yay! We don't normally do altar calls. You know, we're so free from religion. But that's the altar, that whole room. You know, because there's no carpet out here. So during altar call, if you feel led to come, you can go in there and kneel at one of those couches or lay on the couch, or you can stay out here if you want to, but you know, if you want to go kneel somewhere comfortable, you can go in that room. And but I want to warn you, there are four ways. We're going to read his words again. We're going to read some of these I am scriptures while we're in there praying. But I want to warn you, you can hear his word. When you come to the altar, you can come like Moses. I just need to find God. I need to find God. You can come to him as Savior. I know who God is, but I need a Savior. I need to come to Jesus today and be saved. I need him to take my sin. You can come to him as his faithful servant, laying down your life and saying, whatever you want. Whatever you want, resurrect life in me again today and let me be ready. Or you can hear nothing because you expect nothing. Now, if you come wanting and inviting, God, speak life into me of who you are. I need this revelation of where I'm at and I need it. You may get it while you're here at the altar call. You may get it when you're driving down the road. You may get it when you're laying in your bed tonight. You may not get it for 2 or 3 weeks, and then bam, one day, Jesus just shows up and says, I am, and it hits you like a ton of bricks. He never fails to show up when somebody sincerely invites him to show up. But it's not always the way we think, the time we think. But I am asking us to put a little kick against pride this morning. And be willing. Be wanting. And if you're not wanting, I mean, if you're right now, because I have times I can hear the best word and I'm sitting back there going, I'm not hungry today. You know, I feel nothing. Put your hand on your own spirit. Your spirit's down in your belly. And tell God, stir me up. Make me hungry. If I'm feeling nothing, I need to be awakened. Awaken my spirit, God. I want to be stirred up to seek you. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We love you. You are so amazing. And we're going to give you this time.
I'm going to read through these series of verses three times. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Revelation. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. John. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Exodus. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.